Once you choose hope, anything is possible. Christopher Reeve.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hey everyone, Samantha Lee right here. I hope you're doing well. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. We have a brand new episode for you today where we interview one of my absolute favorite leaders in the essential oil industry. Jade Schutz is the founder of the New York Institute of Aromatic Studies, which, as I say in the show, I'm a little biased towards. I love this school. I think the way they are teaching aromatherapy is cutting edge, modern, and practical. And anyone who's looking to further their education and maybe become a certified aromatherapist or learn how to use essential oils on a practitioner basis, or just really deep dive into their personal education, I always recommend the School for Aromatic Studies as a place to go to further your education. I'll put a link below in the show notes for those that want to check out their courses. They've set up a great discount code for our listeners as well. Today, I asked Jade on the show to do a little deep dive for us into the topic of blending essential oils. I feel like blending oils is such an art form and a science, but also something that anyone can do at home. So if you're ever interested in blending your own oils or want to hear some interesting combinations of oils to try, enjoy today's episode with Jade Schutz. Before then, allow me to share my favorite oil of this week. So my favorite oils this week is a blend that I have pulled from the Life Science Publishing app. It's my favorite app when it comes to looking up quick tips on what oils to use for what. You can get it over at discoverlsp.com, and it's called the LSP Pocket app. So anyway, I brutally bruised my leg the other day when I decided to jump off a rope swing over my friend's yard that swings over the river here, which was tons of fun, but you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. So I bruise easily and got a nasty bruise on my leg. And so I went to my LSP app and pulled up a recipe to try out to help accelerate the healing of my bruise. And so I tried bruise blend number one from them, which is 5 drops heliochrysum, 4 drops lavender, 3 drops cypress, and 3 drops cistus, and 3 drops geranium essential oil. Blended that up with some fractionated coconut oil, which is my favorite carrier oil to blend with. And I've just been applying that as often as I can think of it throughout the day. And I can tell that it's helping accelerate that healing process immensely. Now let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's recipe comes from listener Alexa Fox, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin. Her recipe is called Uplifting Blend. To make the Uplifting Blend, in a 10 milliliter roller bottle, add the following: 10 drops Joy Essential Oil Blend, 10 drops Bergamot Essential Oil, 5 drops Jasmine Essential Oil, and fill to the top with a carrier oil of your choice. She uses the blend when she's away from home for the day and needs a little pick-me-up, or after a stressful commute and needs to feel centered again. If you're not familiar with the Joy Essential Oil Blend, that is a Young Living blend containing bergamot, ylang ylang, geranium, lemon, coriander, tangerine, jasmine, Roman chamomile, palmarosa, and rose. It's one of my personal favorites. We have hundreds of DIY recipes for you to peruse through on our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com. And all of them have been submitted by you, our listeners. And every time you submit a DIY recipe to our dugout, you automatically get entered into our monthly giveaway, where one lucky winner will receive a bottle of orange essential oil and our ebook full of DIY essential oil recipes for a toxin-free home. Enter your recipe by emailing us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com or go to our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com, and click on DIY Dugout.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life. And it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
I'm here with the amazing Jade Schutz. Jade, I love you so much. Jade, for those who don't know you, you are the visionary and director of education for the School for Aromatic Studies. I'm like so biased. It's like my favorite school out there. I guess not biased because I have no affiliation, but I just love the school that you helped to build and run. You are an aromatherapy practitioner, researcher, and educator for over 2 decades. Jade opened your first aromatherapy school, the Institute of Dynamic Aromatherapy in New England in 1991. You've also been a part of many committees, including a committee for NAHA. You helped set education standards for aromatherapy. You served 2 terms as the president of NAHA, which is the National Holistic Aromatherapy Association, for those who don't know. And you're also an author, a speaker, and you just play such a pivotal role in aromatherapy in general, especially here in America, which we were just talking about is so needed. So welcome back, Jade. You've been on the podcast a few times, and it's always a pleasure to have you here. How are you?
Thank you, Samantha. I'm doing well. Yes, thank you. Always good to be here.
Let's give people a little background into, you know, how did you become this kind of world famous, extremely educated aromatherapy teacher?
The very condensed version is, you know, it was truly just a gift when my first experience with aromatherapy, I was not feeling well. I was living in England and I was referred to an aromatherapist and I had an aromatherapy treatment, which included massage and, you know, customizing a blend. And after that, I always say, and this is a true story, it's like I woke up because I had fallen asleep during the massage and I woke up, I was like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And I mean, that's really what's driven me. It's like, even to today, I'm like 30 years to be equally as passionate. What is the drive? It's that it's just so, such a beautiful field. And it's, there's always something to learn. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, as I said, we've done this podcast. We have over 200 episodes and there's still so much to talk about. I just feel like I'm always having more questions come up and people asking, hey, you should do an episode about this or that. And so there's just so much beautiful things to learn and to share when it comes to essential oils. So for the topic of today, I really want to pick your brain about the specifics around the art of blending essential oils, as well as different application techniques. So let's start with blending. So you can buy single essential oils out there, which are just one plant in a bottle, or you can buy pre-blended oils, which usually have a nice, lovely, clever name to them that make it pretty easy to learn what to use them for. But what goes into blending an essential oil scent, and how can home users blend their own and know how to get the most out of it?
That's such a great question. So, I mean, when it comes to blending essential oils, there's like levels of blending. So, you know, at home, I would probably choose to begin with like simple things like, oh, I want something that smells citrusy. So to use, you know, 2 to 3 citrus, or I want something more like forest aroma, or, you know, I think of them as palettes, like the forest palette, the spicy palette. Oh, I want something that's spicy, like clove and cinnamon, you know, so that's kind of a very simple way, more olfactory based way of initiating a blend. And then another way is to think about what qualities you're looking for in the essential oil. If you've learned a little bit or you have some books lying around, you know, oh, I have a cough and I'm really congested, so I want something that helps, you know, get rid of the mucus. So, oh, I want things like eucalyptus and rosemary and peppermint or ginger, depending on if it's cool, you know, it's like a hot, like infections going on, or, you know, you could throw peppermint in there. So yes. And then the next level would be more a chemical way of blending where, oh, I want aldehyde rich, which would be like citronella and lemongrass, or I want this sedative alcohol. So, you know, and that requires a little bit more education or understanding. And I think chemistry is the least kind of important. I would be driven by therapeutic activity I'm looking for. Oh, I'm having trouble sleeping. Oh, lavender is calming and soothing and therefore sedative, or what we call a nervine. So I'm going to use lavender with clary sage, you know, because I like the way clary sage smells, and it is also calming and sedative, you know. So to work on what actions, or my stomach's really upset, I have a little bit of nausea. Oh, ginger, peppermint's useful for nausea. And usually, like when I blend, it's like there's 2 to 3 essential oils in any synergy that I make. And I choose based on, you know, what I call core, which is like the main essential oil. Like I have insomnia, I'm going to use lavender, is going to be my core oil. Then what can I do to support lavender and its properties? Oh, clary sage. So we have our core and then our support. And then the last one is the harmonizer. Well, lavender and clary sage, they can smell very, very sweet, almost too sweet together, even though therapeutically they complement each other. So I'm going to throw in a citrus to kind of even out the little sweetness of the aroma so far. So, you know, but even the citrus can soothe anxiety, which could help sleep, right? So we choose always, yeah, 3 essential oils, core, support, and harmonizer.
So it's sort of a 3 minimum when it comes to creating a synergistic blend. And I love that. Is there a general rule of thumb when it comes to the ratio or the percentage of oil used for the core or the supportive or the harmonizing oil?
Yeah. If you're using them, I don't have oils right in front of me, believe it or not, but so I'll just use an example of 3 bottles. If you can smell the oils you've chosen, whether it's we usually choose an odd number, 3 to 5. So then I would smell and I would put less of the one that smells the most and more of the one that's lighter. And because you've usually chosen your oils because they complement each other. It's not like, oh, I'm going to use peppermint for a headache and rosemary for my poor circulation and tea tree for the verruca wart. Do you know, it's like usually you're making a synergy to address
to address one thing.
Yeah. Or mm-hmm. a physical thing that has some emotional aspect to it. Do you know, mm-hmm. I have a stomach ache or indigestion, but I'm really anxious. So I might use ginger with lavender, ginger to address the tummy ache, but lavender to address the stress or the anxiety it's triggering or that triggered it.
Right, right. Now, is there any danger to over blending? You know, I'll look at some essential oil blends that have, you know, 10, 15, maybe even 20 different essential oils all mixed together to create this one blend. Is there a danger to that? And I'm also thinking about the home user who maybe has a reference guide and they open up their reference guide and there's, you know, 10 different oils listed there for one issue. And they happen to have all of those oils lying around, you know, is it better to blend them all together or is there a danger to that?
Right. Yeah. I don't know if it's dangerous per se, well, depending, you know, on the oils themselves, but it's unnecessary and it could be confusing it would be like mixing peppermint with rose. To me, that's a good example. I mean, maybe it does work together under some conditions, but you have this really they just have 2 different functions. So if you try and put everything, you know, together, it can become not as therapeutic if it was a more focused synergy. I would say people more in the botanical perfume industry or field will blend many different layers and, you know, elements, mostly because it will become their signature perfume or their, you know, so getting a lot of layers might be important and using more oils. But in general, 3 to 5 essential oils is more than, you know, sufficient in a blend. Yeah.
Yeah. And what is it about the way that essential oils will interact with each other that allows them to enhance each other's effects?
That's really down to, on a basic level, I would say, seeing it as they're enhancing each other's therapeutic activity. And then the next, you know, kind of understanding would be, oh, there's similar chemical components that are complementing each other. You know, this is like, as the more and more you blend, you begin to know, like, oh, if I blend lavender and clary sage, I'm going to get that sweet linalool aroma. Do you know? So maybe I want that, you know, the way the end product or formulation will smell like that. Maybe that's what I'm going for. So maybe I'll combine it with vetiver, you know, to bring it that note even more richly out. But otherwise, it's like, well, I know what's creating that smell is the linalool. And so I want to cut it with something. It's like cooking, do you know? It's like, it's the same idea. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want too much of that. And to complement that, I'm going to do a pinch of this. It's the same with the essential oils. And you can do it olfactory wise too, because you can smell it, right? You can put clary sage and lavender together and be like, boy, there's something in there that smells similar. They're both sedative. That's good enough. You don't even need to know it's linalool. Do you know? That's good enough. And then, oh, it's so sweet. Oh, and bring that citrus in, try it out. Bring rose in and try. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with your own perception as you're blending.
You've mentioned linalool a few times. So for those not familiar with what you're talking about, can you give them some reference?
Yeah. So linalool is a sedative alcohol component found in lavender and clary sage and ho wood and rosewood. And it's a component with a fair amount of research for its sedative, like it helps sleeping, it helps soothe anxiety or reduce anxiety, and also reduces the, you know, impact of stress, potentially even helping us become more resilient to the impact of stress. So that's linalool.
So Jade, I want to start bringing into the conversation a little bit of information about topical application as well. So when we talk about blending essential oils, we're talking about blending them up in one bottle so that you have, you know, one final product. What's the biggest difference between that versus what's called layering, where you would apply an essential oil to your skin, then apply a different one on top of that, and then a different one on top of that? How much can you tell us about those differences and why one might choose one over the other?
So the only experience I have of layering actually is when I was actually practicing massage and was being trained in spa body work, where I don't think there's a therapeutic, I mean, I'm trying to actually think, is there a certain group that's talking about layering? I'm just curious.
I hear sometimes people will, I think a lot of like peppermint, they'll say, well, start with a layer of wintergreen maybe, and then put a layer of peppermint on top so that the peppermint drives it in further to, let's say you're working on a muscular issue, right, or something in the joints, or maybe you're targeting the liver and you're putting lemon over your liver and then layering on top with maybe castor oil or something like that. So I just always wondered if there was more to that than what I just said.
The way we used it in massage practice, and I did actually, it's funny you mentioned wintergreen or birch, because I would, when I first began practicing, do like a birch or a wintergreen in the shoulder area, then do a hot compress, and then do the oil that I had made for them. So that was, I guess, a type of layering. The other thing that we called layering in spa body work was, you know, when you're using one blend on a client, you can build up an olfactory landscape of layering, like use one part for part of their body and another, because our sense of smell will stop smelling. So the idea was to layer something to kind of reconnect the olfactory experience during the massage itself. And so you layer scents to keep active the perception of smell, you know, or the aroma in the room. So, yeah.
I wonder too, if layering is a good option for if you're just kind of in that experimenting phase too of, well, okay, I'm really struggling with sleep. Maybe I don't want to pre-mix a whole bottle of some blend up because I want to kind of experiment with what my body likes. So maybe I'll put a layer of lavender and then a layer of clary sage and then a layer of cedarwood, or I don't know. And
I love it. I mean,
see how they work together.
Yeah. I love the idea. Actually, I think I might work with that a little bit more, but yeah, other than that, I had not heard, or, you know, we layer the essential oils. I guess layering the essential oils even within a blend would be, you know, let's say with hospice care, there's layering of like a base note with other oils because, say, you're treating like a bed ulcer that's having difficulty healing, mm-hmm. and there's an odor. So we layer essential oils with that base note so that it elongates the amount of time that odor is going to be, or that aroma is going to be in the air itself. So that concept of layering like top, mid, or base note to either have it evaporate very quickly or be able to live in the environment or be in the environment for a little bit longer.
Right. And pre-mixing your essential oils, whether that be pre-mixed or kind of just what I do sometimes, and some people balk at this, but I'll just put essential oils neat on my skin and then maybe put a layer of a carrier oil on top of that instead of pre-mixing, I think is a great way to sort of trap in those smells. But as we were kind of talking about before we hit record here today, is a lot of people have some pretty strong opinions about using essential oils neat on the skin. And they'll claim that, you know, using essential oils neat undiluted on the skin could lead to what they call sensitization. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Do you know, I personally have only experienced sensitization once, and that was when I was applying, and it did come out later that geranium used daily could potentially sensitize the skin. So I also use essential oils undiluted on the skin, and I would probably say quite a large group of aromatherapists use them undiluted on the skin as well. Do you know, there's always a potential for a reaction. It doesn't stop us from taking most over-the-counter medication or using half the products or eating half the food we eat. So, do you know, it's like there is a difference. Obviously, some people have very sensitive skin. Do you know, I dated a guy years ago where I put eucalyptus, like when I lived in Seattle, because it's cold, damp. So I would put eucalyptus every time before I went out undiluted on my neck. In fact, I'm convinced it's like how my skin on my neck still looks young.
And you said you did that because it was cold
and damp. And I was sensitive to lung things in Seattle because of the cold damp. So, but then I put it on him, and he's more Irish, fair skinned, you know, like freckly. And he just went bright red, like didn't like it at all, you know, but I didn't appreciate that he was of a skin type that maybe would have been smarter of me to like dilute it down, even if it's 1:1. Do you know, it doesn't even have to be a 5% or 2%, 1:1 or 1:2, like one drop essential oil, two drops vegetable oil, just something for sensitive skin. Yeah. So, do you know, and then of course we're not putting cinnamon bark undiluted on our skin. And, you know, I personally, if not even a few years ago, I don't know what I was thinking, but I used oregano undiluted on my chin. I had this like zit. So I put, and not only did I put like a little drop on it, I decided to do a hot compress. Dude, I had like a burn on my chin that took like 4 months to heal. It was awful. I was like,
I love that someone that's so well educated in essential oils can make such a mistake.
I was like, what was I thinking? But you know what? I have to say, I love having experiences like that because, you know, I'm like, yeah, it really sucked, but, you know, and I'd never, ever do it again. But, you know, it was still, it was just like, yeah, it was a learning experience.
Hell to tell, Jay.
Exactly. But, you know, in my classes in Seattle, I used to have people put thyme, like thymol. And because I found it fascinating that some people would really react. I mean, they would have like a whole rash. Other people would have like this line. Some people, no reaction at all. Yeah. So I think with all the topics we cover in aromatherapy, we have to remember that we're all unique and that there's groups of us that are not very sensitive that can put essential oils readily on our body. And then there's other people who are do have a sensitivity and can create issues. And obviously, if that's the case, we want to be diluting them down always. So,
right.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, the other way I've seen the word sensitization thrown around is, and I'd have to kind of relook at the sources that I've seen this at. None of them are very reputable, but it's out there, you know, so I always like to address it, is that using, you know, let's say lavender, for example, using lavender undiluted on the skin, or maybe ingesting lavender, if you don't dilute it enough, which in some people's opinion, dilution needs to be, you know,
like 1%
essential oil, then over time, you'll become sensitive to lavender as an example. And then after that, any amount of lavender, you'll have like a total allergic reaction to, or it just won't work. I don't know. I've seen some bizarre things. So I didn't know if you sort of run across some of that as well.
Yep. So with lavender, it's interesting because it's not lavender essential oil itself. It's actually lavender that's oxidized, right? So, and linalool and linalyl acetate, which are these chemicals in lavender essential oil, have oxidized and thus created sensitization on the skin. Now it's interesting that, you know, the body does remember, but the sense of smell might have some relationship to the recurring sensitization. Do you know, because we have a memory-based association that can trigger a physiological process. And I believe Kurt Schnaubout actually proposed this idea or theory. Some of the allergies we have over and over again are more like memory, right? It's like the nervous system, oh, I smell lavender. The last time I had lavender, I broke out in a rash. Mm-hmm. It's the very premise that we as aromatherapists work on in massage practice, that we give them a massage, they're having their nervous system is, their sympathetic nervous system is relaxing, their parasympathetic nervous system, you know, it's like rest and digest. And so we give them the blend to take home so that it triggers the body to remember that state it was in during the massage. So sensitization, I mean, true sensitization, there's only a very short list of essential oils that are known sensitizers and or components that are sensitizers, which, you know, people who make botanical body care, they have to like label it, you know, linalool being one of them, because when it oxidizes, it becomes a potential sensitizer. Yeah. So I just haven't witnessed it enough, you know, and unfortunately with social media, we end up with these, you know, really huge, like, you know, one story just gets kind of blown out of proportion to the millions of people using essential oils that don't have these reactions, you know? So right. I think some people just have more sensitive skin, how often you're applying it, what dosage,
all things quality, all that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And you know, sensitization is not life threatening to my knowledge. Do you know, it just means it really sucks if you become sensitized to lavender and you can't use it again, you know,
right.
But I've also had like years ago, I spilled vetiver in an apartment I had in Providence, Rhode Island. And it took me years to ever be able to use vetiver again.
I'm the same with eggs. Like in pregnancy, could not eat eggs. It took me a long time to eat eggs again.
Yeah. Mine was
it
onions.
Sucked.
Yeah.
Didn't kill me though.
No, exactly. So, you know, it's like my nose became sensitized to vetiver, you know, it's like instead of my skin.
It's interesting. Well, this has been great, Jade. I'm trying to think, are there any last words of wisdom you want to leave with people who are really interested in learning about blending essential oils and the amazing effects that can have? You know, just little things like, you know, do you need to let the oils incorporate with each other? Do you shake it? Do you twirl it? And, you know, any other tips you want to leave?
I have specialized in blending, so it's one of my favorite topics. What I recommend, you know, you can get these little kind of little bottles in a lot of co-ops or online. This is 10 mils. You could get an ounce. And so when I'm making an oil, I put my essential oils in the bottle first. So I'll do, let's say I've decided I'm going to use, you know, this is 10 mils, I'm going to use 20 drops. So I'll divide up my 20 drops between the three essential oils and I'll combine them together. And then then I'll like shake them, or like, I'm a big believer in shaking. You know, you don't want to get it up on your finger, because then you'll lose the strength of your dilution. Or you could put the cap on, but shaking is good. Then putting the oil in, shaking some more, covering it, then it's ready to use. So, you know, same if, and that's if you're making like an oil. If you're making like a cream, you just would, I personally, if you're making a cream, I recommend combining the oils first, but I know that's not always practical. So you could just put it right into a cream or right into a gel or an unscented shampoo or conditioner and use it that way as well.
Yeah. I love how sort of not fancy you make things, because they don't need to be complicated.
Yeah, exactly. It's simple. Like I was sharing with Samantha before we came on that, you know, my very reason for being so passionate, or one of the reasons, is because I want to know how to take care of myself. And I have a 13-year-old son who's grown up on herbs and essential oils. He grew up with lavender hydrosol baths and drinking lavender hydrosol, and just so not being afraid of using them, but being observant to one's own limitations of what your knowledge is, and experimenting. Do you know, when it comes to herbal medicine or aromatherapy or aromatic medicine, getting to know just even 5 or 10 essential oils and blending and playing with them and using them and observing is the most empowering part of aromatherapy. I think it's really important. I would like to shed this awareness in our field as in aromatherapy. A lot of the rules and regulations, I don't think, come from like a rational discourse in the field, but rather simply in reaction to what a perceived wrong or kind of a slight hysteria over something. And ultimately, I find that reaction very disempowering and fear-inducing instead of helpful in any way whatsoever. So it's many of the rules and regulations that kind of seem to come out in the field these days were built on a reactionary stance instead of really a rational, like, oh yeah, we can use them undiluted on the skin. Oh yeah, we can take them internally on the skin. We just need to understand a little bit of each of the oils. Do you know, I mean, obviously I'm big into education. I have a school. I'm personally like love being educated, love learning. So, you know, I encourage, whether it's a free introduction or a book from Amazon, you know, or a full-on certification course, you know, I'm just a firm believer in education.
Absolutely. Well, I couldn't believe more in the specific education that you provide and your colleagues provide at the School for Aromatic Studies. So yeah. I'll be sure to put some links to some of my personal favorite courses that I've seen on your site down below, because I just love your perspective, like you were just saying, for educating people about essential oils. Is so much rooted in my beliefs that if someone wants to empower themselves to take care of their own health and use the natural tools around them to do that, then they should be able to do that freely and without fear. And your courses and your education and your books do such a great job of doing that and empowering people. Again, we'll be sure to include links for that. Thank you so much, Jade, for coming back on and sharing your wisdom with here. It's always such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. We'll catch you again here next week. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out on those new episodes released each week. Don't forget to enter your name into our monthly giveaway. You could win a free bottle of orange essential oil, plus our ebook full of amazing essential oil recipes for a toxin-free home, simply by emailing us your personal favorite DIY recipe using essential oils. Email that in at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. It can be a favorite diffuser blend, a roller bottle blend, something more creative like your favorite face cream or shampoo. Just make sure it's an original recipe and include your name, your email, and where you're from or your website. Stay safe, everyone. Know that I am thinking of you. Till next week, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well, because you are worth it.